and the fact that some people are making all the money now in an awful lot of industries, and they're right in your face about it. It's not even like they're doing it quietly. I mean, they're right. This has caused a serious problem in 25 to 40% of the population that I think Trump locked into. Okay, now they sort of backed the wrong horse in the sense that he wasn't you know Solomon. He couldn't pull it off. But to think that the hurt
pull off some of it.
Now, to think that the hurt that these people feel, and rightfully so, is all of a sudden going to go away a week from Tuesday is incredibly naive, because it's very deep. It's people in whole areas that used to make X that are now making X minus 40%, and the people who, by the way, run the places are making X plus 200%. I mean, there is an incredible a problem in this country, and look at what's happened to the stock market. These guys are pouring money into the place. They're going to inflate these assets, and guess what? We're going to have a 10% inflation rate, and we're 6% or 8% or something, and the people that haven't gotten a raise in 20 years, now the money they are making is going to be cut in half in terms of wealth. And I don't understand, Kevin. There were two guys on here. So one of them was that guy Goolsbee, and he was on somebody's economic board, and it was on with this other...
He worked for President Obama.
And there was another guy, and there was a total bump. Now, I don't understand. These are economic principles that anybody who's taken two classes should know. And we talk about people that lie. Now, yesterday I was listening to CNBC cut off the, I guess, MSM. I don't know who the hell the guy was. But he refused to listen to Trump because of his lies. Now, first of all, we know that Trump is a consummate bearer of false witness. But the part that they don't get is all the other people they have on there, a great percentage of them are doing the same thing. Now, here's Goolsbee, who has way more degrees than I do, and is probably allegedly way smarter than me economically, telling everybody there hasn't been a hint of inflation in 20 years. What is he talking about, Kevin? That's a fat-ass lie. And the other guy says, all we need is in the government, and Joe Biden's going to do it. Joe's going to do the best he can, I'm sure, but we need fiscal policy because monetary policy has been covering it for so long. First of all, everything we've done has been, quote, fiscal policy in terms of these sending out checks and stuff. The problem is they can't do it without the monetary policy because they can't borrow from anybody because there's no money out there to borrow from. So whenever they do something, they say we're going to spend $2 trillion, the Fed dumps in $2 trillion. Monetary policy is floating the fiscal policy. Now, but everybody knows that. Hal Snard, every economist we have on here, nobody disagrees with me on that. And these are guys that you don't see Russell disagreeing with that, and he's a PhD. I mean, so he says, yeah, Chief, you're right. Now, why is it that these two bumps get on national TV and say just the opposite? Okay? To trade a Trump lies, yes. But here's two other guys. They're lying, too. What happened to the truth here someplace?
They're either lying or they're incredibly stupid, and I don't believe that, given their credentials and training, that they're incredibly stupid.
But what is the motivation? Who's the man behind
it? They could be. By the way, I won't rule it out. I'm just saying
why there's an agenda here someplace? Why haven't we been using plasma for 9 months now? Why can't we admit that in some areas of the economy, especially if you're not getting your hospitalization paid for by somebody else and it doesn't affect you that much, why can't we admit that, by the way, the healthcare has taken inflation to a new level in this country? Why can't we just say that, Kevin? This is not that hard. It's not like we're calling out somebody for, you know, having a clap or something. Why is this so difficult?
I don't know why it's so difficult, but it is, and I guess, you know, we'll see how history is written on it.
I mean, I don't. What is the point of? I mean, I know I have a feeling that what the government is trying to do is inflate the currency so their incredible debt becomes easier to pay. Okay, that I think is the agenda. And to a certain extent,
won't it be harder to pay with inflation if it drives up the interest rates?
Well, that's the point. You lie about that and you keep the interest rates down. I mean, and I don't know how you do both. I keep telling the joke. It's how do you learn how to swim and stay dry? I mean, it's absolutely. How do you pour money into the system so the money you pay back 10 years from now is worth half as much as the money you borrowed? At the same time, not create the inflation or not acknowledge. Right now, they're not acknowledging the inflation. And to a certain extent.
Yeah, so, yeah, we're doing the la la la, I can't hear you. And but sooner or later, it's going to come home to roost.
Look what happened. It didn't. Last time there was no denying it, because for whatever reason, just in general, people, and this is because I don't know, maybe because a lot of people maybe still pay cash. I don't know. I don't think so. Probably use a credit card. But the thing that really bugs people on inflation is gasoline. Because you buy it every week, and in the early 70s, you and I remember, all of a sudden when gas went from 30 cents a gallon to a buck, I mean there were people ready to strangle politicians and Arabs, and I mean, if we could have dropped a bomb on Saudi Arabia and brought the prices back down to 40%, you could have got a vote for it, right? I mean, but now this time it's sneakier. The people who are the real people, the people who count. And of course, everybody knows I don't feel that way, but the people who count to the people who obviously do count, they don't pay for hospitalization. So really, it's no skin off my ass it is because I'm an owner of the place, that if PTI pays $1,500 a month this year when 10 years ago they used to pay $800. Does it really matter? Because I have an economic background, I'll be smart enough to say if they weren't paying that, I could probably get a $700 raise a month. But most people don't think that way. Even though if you thought about it, you would, but most people, it's not. So most people, if PTI had to pay $500 more this year in insurance, it doesn't affect people inflation-wise as much as gasoline going to $2.70 a gallon. Because they just don't see it. And you really don't.
And so maybe we get away with the inflation argument because gas prices is one of the things that makes people react, and it's been relatively low. It bounces around up and down in a range, but it's in a lower range than we have experienced in the past, or a tighter range, let me put it that way. So maybe that's the case. But I there's a hell of a lot of people going to the grocery store.
Well, Kevin,
I think people realize if you do the grocery shopping,
I'll push back on that a little bit because I like everything, right? So I don't really care what I eat. I mean, to a certain extent, I mean, I love to cook and make it taste good, but I don't really care if I go in and pork chops are on sale. I buy them, and if you do that, you can eat really not any more. You might even be able to eat cheaper than you did 10 years ago.
Well, yeah, and you know what? I'll buy ribeyes when they're on sale. If they're on sale for $9.99, I'll buy them. But you know what? I also realize that. 3-4 years ago, I was buying ribeyes routinely for under $9.99.
Right, but you're a high end dude. I'm saying I paid $1.50 for pork chops the other day, center cut. Well, that's not each, it's more expensive than it was in 1990, for God's sake. I'm saying you can get my point being is if you depending on what you look at. I mean, if your basket is screwed up, obviously the cost of a TV is 1/10 of what it was 20 years ago.
Grocery basket, it doesn't matter, Tom. Your grocery basket it's a hit.
Yes.
I don't think there's any way around it, if you buy only stuff that's on sale.
I'm not disagreeing. What I'm saying is it hasn't hit the same way. I mean, most people, even though, higher education, we got $1.7 trillion in student loan debt, and it's burying this country. It's burying a generation in my mind. It's just not front and center. That if Notre Dame raises their rates this year 10,000, which I don't think they did, I don't think anybody did this year, but 10,000, it's not table talk. Where if gasoline goes up a dime, it is. Even though you're way worse off with the 40 extra grand you got to spend to send your kid to college, right? That's an awful lot of gasoline. But people just don't think that way. I mean, and plus asset pricing, the people who control the country, to a large extent, are people who own assets. So you're not going to get people's, demonstrating, and I won't have to use that, it's a bad week for demonstrating. You're not going to people get a sandwich sign on and say the stock market is too high or the price or the house they own is too high. But the people who control the news are the house owners, not the house buyers or the house renters, right? So, I mean, nobody's going to come out today except for me saying, hey, this market is unsustainable. It's going up like the Weimar or like Argentina, for God's sake. Because that's where the money's going in. I mean, every day, the Fed has got $10, $20 billion that they're pouring into the place that people can't use. It's going someplace. Guess what? I mean, it's going to asset prices. I mean, you look at I'll get my debt clock up here. I mean, the I mean, right now, I mean, you're a homeowner, so if your the price of your house goes up 20% next year, I'm going to say you think it's a really good thing. And for you, it is. Now, for me trying to buy it or for me trying to rent it from you, it's not a good thing, right?
So, it definitely is not.
So the question comes down, who controls the news? Well, you're not going to get somebody come on CNBC and say, boy, this stock market going up is really a horrible thing, right? It's not going to happen. And I don't think it is either. Obviously, for my people, all I keep trying to do is protect them and make sure that if it goes back down again, we don't lose it all again.
I mean, but I do hear people on occasion, it's not most, but I do hear people on the business channels who will come on and say, we are really going to get some inflation. We're giving it. We can't help it.
Right. Well, here you have the median income, 2000, $30,999. Median income now, 35,287, which I think this site is actually wrong on that. I think it's more like 37, 38. But here we got median new home, 2000, 161. Median new home now, 326. God, Kevin, one's up 12% and the other's doubled. I mean, what are we talking about here? I got to believe the price of a car is doubled or up 80% or something. Certainly a pickup.
Yeah, so what has to happen here? What's the adjustment?
I honestly think what we need, which will never happen, we need to go back, and I looked at... We got to go to break. While we go to break, we'll give traffic, weather, sports, and we'll come back and talk about this. S&P futures up 13, NASDAQ futures up 76. And the other phenomenon is why gold isn't like 2,500 at this point. Every other stock is. We'll be right back. Stocks and Jacks.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI ProDirect can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI ProDirect. Cheap prices along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com. PTIProDirect.com.
Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you're aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. At PTI, we've always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTISecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTISecurities.com.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now.
Well, welcome back to Stocks and Jacks. I'm Tom Howe. He's Mr. Dave Scatina on the board. If you're going to listen to the the tape, we managed to not tape the first few minutes, and all you're missing is my goose story, so maybe Audrey's off the hook. Who knows? What do you think, Dave?
Yeah, sorry about that.
And then the Orland police are off the hook, but that's okay. We got that going for us. We have S&P futures up 12.25 after a big run up yesterday, especially in the NASDAQ. The NASDAQ actually was down the day before, and we were way up. We made up for that yesterday and then some. So we got those up 12.25. NASDAQ is up 65.50. We have individual stocks here today. Somehow or another, the world is convinced that Goldman Sachs is going to make out like a bandit under Joe Biden, which they really do. Well, Goldman Sachs does well with anybody, but they seem to really do well with the Democrats lately. I don't know why that is, but Dow futures up 80. Over in Europe, we've got, or at least the market thinks they do. DAX up 112.8%. FTSE down 1. Call that flat. CAC around up 28.5%. Over in Asia, we've got Nikkei up 648, 2.4%. We're taking these guys right with us. South Korea's, it's their first trading week in 2021. They're up 10%. Hyundai Motor being the number one. Well, I guess they're going to try and do something maybe with Apple regarding cars or something like that. I read Shanghai down 6.2%. Hang Seng up 329, 1.2%. So, I mean, these dollars, there were some stocks yesterday with some of my clients. Some stocks yesterday like doubled. I mean, it's not even in the, I've never seen like this except for 2000 where, oh no, all of a sudden everybody sees this stock, they talk about it on TV and the thing like doubles. I mean, especially if you're in this battery powered area, that was the stuff that was all moving yesterday. Yesterday the Dow was up 211, it was the laggard. S&Ps were up 55, that's 1.5%. NASDAQ was up 326, that's 2.6%. We're talking about indexes here, not individual stocks. This is really, really unusual. U.S. 10-year, 1.08, almost 1.09 now. So it's really scooting up in terms of percentage terms. Obviously, still 1.1%, which isn't much on 10-year. I'm just letting everybody know, historically, if all of a sudden people get an idea that there's inflation, this could be 3% in a nanosecond. It doesn't have to go up by 0.01% like people seem to think it does. The Bund, however, still minus 0.52. Japan, positive 0.04. So the Japan market is making this tremendous move up like everything's okay, and still their interest rates are zero. So there's a nine connect there. Oil up 63 cents, 51.50.46, as Saudi claims they're going to drop another million barrels a day. Brent up 81 cents, 55.19. Natural gas down 8 cents, 2.64. The mild weather countrywide seems to be continuing. Arbob up another 2 cents, 1.50. So $2 gas is going to be in the rearview mirror for a while, no pun intended. Gold, however, is going the other way. Gold's back under 19, 18.90. Silver down 55 cents, 26.71. Copper, 369, one of the interesting stocks that I watch, and this is not a Freeport, FCX. I think it got down to like 5 last spring, and now it's up every day because they're copper. It's up $31. Actually, it's down 17 cents today. I think it's gone from like 5 to 31. It's done way better than gold or silver. I just wish I would have put my money in there instead of gold and silver. Been okay, but not like that, David. What do you got for us, traffic, weather, sports, bud?
Good morning. It's 6:41 in Chicago. Traffic has been moving smoothly for Friday morning. We do have one incident to report. There's an accident on I-80-94 right before the Klein Avenue. Right lane is blocked. Today in weather in Chicago, it's 31 degrees, partly cloudy. The highs today will be 37. There is a chance of flurries this morning. To our Phoenix listeners, currently it's 44 and also partly cloudy. They will have a high up 70 degrees. In college hoops last night, number 12 Illinois, 81, defeats Northwestern, 81-56. USC, 87, Arizona, 73. And in overtime, ASU loses to UCLA, 81-75. NBA, quiet night, but tonight the Bulls will take on the Lakers and the Suns play the Pistons. We do have the NFL playoff wild card weekend. They will have 3 games on Saturday this year and 3 games on Sunday. And our Bears will be taking on the Saints at 3:40. Back to you,
Chief. We'll talk more about that when we have Colin on later.
Yes, we will.
So, Kevin, we're just talking about some of these economic numbers. And you do wonder, because if we push the money in the right direction, I mean, these are very much, I mean, we're talking about a Federal Reserve that's put more money into the system in the last 10 months than Janet Yellen and, who's the guy before him? Kind of forgot. than in 9 years. I mean, these numbers are unconscionable. And, you know, and maybe we've never had an epidemic like this either, so I'm not saying that some of it wasn't justified. But the idea is, how are we going to corral this back? I mean, what is the plan? Are we going to corral it back? And are people saying we never have to corral it back? We're just, but the habit you run into, and I keep going back to my, well, he's been dead for so long, Milton Friedman, and he would say, somebody said, why is inflation so, you know, a little bit? He goes, the problem is a little bit of inflation feels so good. It's like your first beer. He literally said that. It's like your first beer. He goes, a little bit feels so good that you always end up getting more. And it's, and he goes, the problem is it's never even. And which means that if we just said, okay, everybody takes your $1 bill with the Washington on them and you walk into the Federal Reserve and you walk out with $2 bills, well, I believe it's Jefferson, isn't he? On the $2 bill?
Yeah.
It wouldn't do anything for anybody. Because you didn't increase the education of your people, the skill. You didn't increase the amount of bridges, the amount of houses. You wouldn't do anything. Everything would just be double. If Manny Weber owed me $20, he'd now owe me 40, right? I mean, of course, he would say he still owed me 20, but Manny probably wouldn't do that. But the point is, everything would just be adjusted. If I made 50 grand a year, I now should make 100. The steak, instead of $9 a pound, should be 18. I mean, nothing would happen. But if you do it in a way where only certain people benefit, and if you do it on top of an era where you've had all this kind, I mean, I would say right now that the people, power to the people would be absolutely powerless right now, Kevin, if tomorrow Amazon, Home Depot, Menards, Lowe's, Walmart, if 10 places raise their prices 20%, I don't think we have a chance of combating that. Do you?
Because I don't think we would have a snowball's chance of hell of combating that.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like there's, I mean, there would be, you know, a few places. If you lived in Chicago, you probably could find, you know, someplace else to buy your stuff. I mean, we got hardware stores here, but there are places where you probably couldn't. And I don't see how you have a news report.
Well, there's certainly places, you know, a lot of rural towns that. Where Walmart is pretty much at.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. And so I don't know what you would necessarily do, but the idea of these people, I mean, does anybody think when I mean the I guess the part of it that bothers me a little bit is I'll see on CNBC, I watch them all day long, so I criticize them a little bit. They have no problems with having a report that says lumber prices are up 30% this year and how awful that is. And that the next report will be Home Depot's same-store sales are up 5%. Isn't that spectacular? Without any adjustment being made for the fact that lumber is up 30%. That's not necessarily good news, is it? I mean,
you know what? I just got a bill for some decking that I had to have done. I had to have some repairs to the well at my house, which meant pulling up a deck, and I just got a bill for having it done. And the lumber, you'll get a kick out of this. The lumber was, let's just say, about 60% of the bill.
Yeah. Well, the price of a new home now, with the number up that much, is up. Is just in lumber, is up, what, 10%?
Yeah, and the labor charge, by the way, is $50 an hour, so it's not like they were, you know, giving me $10 an hour for labor on that.
$50 an hour in where you live? That seems like a little heavy.
Well, it's all the overhead. Now, I know the contractor.
Okay.
That's a reasonable rate for how he runs his business.
All right, so that's, you know, these are these standard hours, or is this an hour per 2x4?
No, standard hours. Right. It wasn't, you know, they didn't have that much that they had to do.
All right, so it's not horrible. Because, I mean, you're paying.
So it was a little bit better than a half a day's work.
Yeah, well, it's tough costs. I mean, that's what one of my as people start talking about repairing houses in bad neighborhoods, which, you know, actually Audrey's worked with some people that do that, and it's, you know, they've done pretty well with some of it in terms of, you know, making some areas nicer. But if my buddy, of course, he used to play football at quarterback, imagine that. Hey, Chief, just remember, if you're working on a $1 million house, concrete costs X per yard and plasterboard costs X per sheet. If you're working in a crappy neighborhood, it's the same amount of money, but you're not getting anywhere near the return. Well, I guess you're right, you know.
Yeah. Well, which is actually, that's one of the things that the Biden administration better keep is the opportunity zones. Because what they've done, what those did was that they did go ahead and create investment in exactly that situation. That they did increase the returns on investment in poor neighborhoods. And you've talked a lot about how important how expensive it is for someone to get a job, get a beater card, license it, and all that kind of stuff. If the job is right in your neighborhood, then you have a better chance of working. And I think, when we saw better numbers for African-American and Hispanic unemployment, it was directly tied into those opportunity zone initiatives because everything was then local. The whole, any new business investment that went in there was tied to, was able to tap into a local labor force, and I think that was a really good thing for the country. So the Biden administration, when he says, "I'm going to roll back the Trump tax cuts," they better keep that.
I would. The thing I have an issue with the Trump tax cuts, and really a lot of them that have been, or tax increases. I think at the end of the day, Kevin and our dear departed friend Bob Golden, I hope he's not rolling over in his grave when he hears me say this. I think if you...
Oh, I got to tell you, that reminds me of a Bob story. So finish your thought, and I'll tell you.
But
story.
I mean, I think that at the end of the day, that the taxes people pay, and I guess I'm grudgingly admitting now that a corporation, I guess, is sort of like a person. At the end of the day, the taxes should be the same for everybody. You shouldn't be able to do this two-step dodge from one to the other back and forth. I mean, if my individual rate's 32% or whatever the hell it is, or 34, I shouldn't be able to get 22% or 21% of a pass from a subchapter S. Why? It should end up being the same for everybody. That way, at least you get that game playing out of the system. And I don't understand why a corporate rate isn't the same as an individual rate. But oh, by the way, the dividends are tax deductible. I mean, one of the biggest issues you have, and this one goes all the way back to people in Chicago telling me this, the biggest issues you have in corporations that I'm going to say are too big. I mean, I'm not even looking at the Amazons, but dude, the Warren Buffetts of the world. If you don't want to pay people dividends, you can always duck behind the tax law and say people get taxed double for dividends, therefore it's never worth it to pay a dividend. Well, but that's a misuse of resources, Kevin. You should... I mean, Warren Buffett, he claims he's a hero. Okay, everybody says he's a hero, but I don't buy it. That doesn't mean on his next investment he's a hero. So in his mind, all I have to do, I could be 20% worse investor than my average investor, and I'll still be okay because that's what the tax law does. So in my mind, it should be encouraged for you to pay dividends to people, unless you really got a project that's worthwhile. Because that way the people maybe can go out and find something better to do with it. I mean, you can't tell me that if Warren Buffett didn't kick out $1 billion tomorrow to his people, that some of those people will take that $1 billion and invest it better than he has because he hasn't been able to. Same way with Apple. You can't tell me that they need all this cash in the place because they obviously haven't been able to use it. They're telling me they don't need it, yet they won't pay it because there's a double taxation of dividends. You've got to get rid of that. I mean, it's been like that for 50 years that I've known about it. You got to get rid of it. And yet we won't do it. Why is that?
Well, and you know what? Part of that argument is always going to be, well, what am I going to replace it with? And my response to that is, replace it with cutting your damn budget.
No. I'm not talking about it should be just make it even. Split it up in such a way where instead of the corporation paying whatever, they don't pay 30%. They only pay 21%. I'm saying they should pay the same as individuals, okay, in total. But what you should do is if the corporation keeps it, they should pay 31% like you and I do, or 32, whatever the hell it is. If they pay out a dividend, they should get a credit, get it back. So if they're making you pay 20% on your dividend, the corporation should get that back. You shouldn't pay twice. The total should be 32.
But when you are paying twice, then somebody, the revenue is landing in a government coffer somewhere, and that's going to be the biggest inhibitor that you have is people are going to say, well, I need the revenue. We can't run the government without it.
Well, you're paying twice.
Yes, you can't run the status quo government without it.
Well, you're paying twice, but the total comes up to be the same now, almost. But the way they do it in such a way, it still encourages a company to not pay it. This whole idea of buying stock back, to me, is insane. If you've got too much money, you pay a dividend. This is not that difficult. But two things are in the way of that. You've got all the bumps at the top of the corporation on the board that have stock options. So if you ever, if you want to feel like somebody just dropped a stink bomb in a room, be in a corporate board meeting and say, I think we should increase the dividend if everybody's got stock options. Because I think everybody who listens to the show knows that if you pay a dividend, the price of the stock goes down, right? Well, that's the last thing you want if you have a stock option. So the entire idea of why we buy stock back versus pay a dividend has to do with the stock options of the people at the top of the company. Am I right or wrong?
Well, so what you have is an incentive that is getting exactly the behavior it prescribes.
That's right. Hey, by the way, are we canceling the putting off the Ohio State Alabama game?
I haven't heard if a decision has been made. I won't be surprised if they do.
Well, what if? I guess, you know, I'd like to see everybody be able to play and whatever.
Fighting Irish are rested and ready.
Yeah, you know, Matty Weber. It's funny, Matty.
Your ass kicked by somebody.
Well, you know, but is Matty? We're driving in the other morning, and he says, "You know, I don't understand a lot of you Irish dudes." He goes, "Everybody's bitching and moaning at your team." He goes, "Arguably, you have been the fourth or fifth best program in the country in the last 7 years." And he goes, "It's just that the other three, whether they're cheating or whatever they're doing, they're on a different level. Why are you guys so pissed off?" And when you look at it that way, Kevin, I'm not all that pissed off, to be honest with you.
Well, that's not really the problem, though. The problem is, that there's a lot of stuff that they, a lot of issues where they're stupid on purpose.
Well, but what makes you think the other guys aren't as well? I mean, somehow or another, Alabama's stacking players, they're gray shirting people, they're going to be better.
And you know what? How many times have I said this? I've said it about the Bears too. Okay, if they're better, they're better. So be it.
Yeah.
If they're better prepared, or they're smarter, that's not acceptable.
By the way, the level you're on is where I'm at. For the particular games this year, those other two teams were somewhat better. But they're in the range that if we were a little more imaginative, A could have been close and B could have been the other way. It doesn't mean we'd have won, you know, 5 out of 10 games. But I don't think
hung in there. And yeah. What did you see? You saw that in the Clemson loss. When they played Ohio State. You know, Brent Venables is an outstanding defensive coordinator, and he generally keeps teams off balance. But Ohio State came out with a game plan that actually had Clemson off balance,
right?
And you know that's you don't get that out of the Brian Kelly coaching staff.
Why out of all the years you and I have been associated, we're going to turn into a Notre Dame discussion. All we already have, there's always been a signature wide receiver from Tom Gatewood on that was a kid from Minnesota for a while. Clayton Durham, what's his name? He was like 8 years ago was his name. He was really good. Then we had the guy who was playing for Pittsburgh. Why this year do we have no wide receiver with speed? I mean, did somebody?
Well, they have two that are very fast and spent most of the year injured.
Okay,
and then they also have a 5-star wide receiver freshman who, for whatever reason, never saw the field. And I don't know what that reason is.
You would think he could have broke in at least a few plays a game if he was any good.
You would think. Just put him out there and say go long.
Would you say that the guy, Marty O'Connell tells me, I don't know if you remember this guy, David, what was his name? Was it Alan Miller? He was in my era. He was the most highly recruited guy.
Alvin Miller, yeah.
Alvin Miller, the guy.
From East St. Louis.
But he won, didn't he win his high school team was like third or fourth in the state in track, and they only had three people on it, or four. He was one of them.
Yeah, he racked up all the points for him.
But he pulled a hamstring every spring. Did he ever even play?
Yeah, well, that happens with some people.
And but I mean, you get these guys.
With some people. I got to tell you the Bob Golden story.
Oh yeah.
So this was a couple of weeks after Obama beat Romney, and of course the big issue was health care and Obamacare and all that, and there was a promise of rolling it back, and so that was the hot issue at the time. And I remember going over to Bob's house. Now, Bob had this really cool, the house still does, his wife still has it. but a really cool theater in the basement. It was great for watching games. So we're sitting down waiting for the game to start. But as soon as I got there, we sit down, and he just looked at me and he goes, "Well, Kevin, how blinked are we?" And he didn't use the word blinked. But how screwed are we? And I knew exactly what he was talking about. You know, I didn't have to say, "What do you mean?" or anything like that. It was strictly his reaction to the election. And I can't tell you how many times I think of that conversation now and go, "Geez, Bob, we had no idea."
Yeah, it's, a lot of what we see, Kevin, is, to me, it's not even policy. It's just people, they miss, somehow or another, if I could be Solomon for a second. I think people need to go back to learning, how to build something. Not necessarily because everybody's got to be a carpenter. I'm not going down that road. But I'm saying that we seem to have lost the process on how to do something. And if you build a railroad car, if you build a porch, you spec it out. You get the concrete in the spot you need it. You go buy the wood. You put it in there. You buy the thing. There's a process to this. It just doesn't miraculously show up one day. And what I'm seeing with this disease, as bad as it is, nobody would have been perfect, because we got hit on both coasts, and it was a bad thing. It remains a bad thing. But the process, okay, how do you give vaccines out? Well, we're going to get a certain number of vans. We're going to assign people the places to go. And oh, by the way, the day the stuff gets here, we're going to go out there and we're going to try and do 2 nursing homes a day. And if we get efficient at it, we're going to be able to do 3 in 2 weeks. And this is how we're going to do it. We have 2 people in here that have taken training now for 3 weeks. And here's the stuff. And we got the coolers. We got everything ready to go. And we go. This is one thing after another.
Well, let me give you a thought on that, Tom, because I know we barely have any time.
Yeah.
The thought on that is it's really a matter of competence. That you have some states like mine, like Michigan here, and like New York, that have barely scratched their, into their phase one. And they just really suck at it. And then you have other states, the shining example being South Dakota, which is also one that never did lockdowns and any of that stuff. But South Dakota, they're in their stage 3 stuff already.
Well, but the people we put in these jobs because of political correctness, because of they're somebody's nephew. I'm not saying it's not because we all have black women in these jobs and they're incompetent. The white guys that were there, they were incompetent. I mean, why do we continually put people in these spots that don't seem to be able to say, pick up part A, pick up part B, and put the damn bolt together? I mean,
yeah, well, their skill in politics, the skill to succeed in politics is not competence. It's a different skill set. And what they should be doing, however, is enlisting, and in many cases they have. A lot of places are working through existing distribution channels, like pharmacies and even grocery stores in some states, the grocery stores that have pharmacies as part of their operations. And they're using the existing infrastructure and saying, have at it. They're basically becoming a just-in-time supply.
Kevin, if we have, I know we'll go over here for a second, if we have 50% of our problem with 1% of our people in nursing homes, no matter what you do, you've got to get there first. Unless we have...
Yeah, you do. And some states have done that, and other states have not.
Unless we have the agenda that we really want all these people dead because we're saving on Social Security. And I can't imagine that's the agenda, but... I'm not so sure.
Well,
it isn't.
Look, I understand prioritizing healthcare workers. That makes a certain amount of sense. But prioritizing health, you should be able to walk and chew gum at the same time. It's not like the nursing home population is so large that you can't touch them until you've gotten every health.
One of the contributors to the show is with a group of people who own a lot of nursing homes. In one of the nursing homes, somebody who moonlighted there from a hospital came with his hospital outfit on. This is way back in April, and it infected 42 people. So, yeah, I guess we should get the people in the hospital first, but if we'd have got the people in the nursing home first, they wouldn't have got infected, right?
There was a situation in San Jose that had that was the same thing, where, 47 staff members, over Christmas and New Year's managed to get themselves infected. Thought they were all wearing masks, but
yeah.
Hey, what the hell?
Oh, yeah. Kevin, take care of yourself. SP Futures up 11. NASDAQ Futures up 66. We'll come back. Before we have Mr. Carl, we're going to talk to Mr. Collin regarding the bets for the weekend, and we'll be right back. Stocks and Jocks.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose for whatever reason. Investors who took some increased risk to longer-term fixed-income securities and are now unhappy with that choice. At PTI, we have always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTIsecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTIsecurities.com.
Hear ye, hear ye! The Homer Broadcasting System is on the air! Hear ye, hear ye! The Homer Broadcasting System is on the air!
Stocks, Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now. Right here, right now. Right now.
Hello, welcome back to Stacks and Jacks. I'm Tom Holly, Mr. Davis Catina on the board. We have our football, our man Mr. Collin, our football expert. SP Futures up 12, and NASDAQ Futures up 66. We're up, but we were up a little more earlier. But we had a huge day yesterday, so anything up today I think would be a somewhat of an even more of a positive. Collin, how are you, buddy?
Chief, good morning. How are we doing?
All right. I was my question for you this morning, so we don't have all that much time, but I'm going to let you talk. But with all the stuff with the COVIDs and all the other stuff, which is moving more, the the lines on the who's going to win or lose, or the up or the over unders, whether the defensive guys are out or the offensive guys are out?
Great question. So if we look at the Chiefs, the Saints Bears game, Saints have a couple players affected by COVID, and then also if we look around the league. We have a couple coaches that are going to be out for this week. The Cleveland coach, Kevin Stefanski, he won't be on the sidelines this week because he's come down with COVID. So as far as strategy goes and play calling and adjustments in game, that's going to have a big effect. And not to talk about the college football playoffs because I know Notre Dame didn't show up again, but Clemson's offensive coordinator, he also had COVID against Ohio State last week, so he wasn't on the sidelines and wasn't able. They struggled to make some in-game adjustments, so it's still affecting players and coaches. Preparation, Chief. I mean, this is all obviously a big part of the wild card weekend. So definitely still lingering, and we're not out of the woods yet. So it's going to be an interesting weekend to see what happens here. But Chief, Bears are back in the playoffs. We gotta be excited about that, right?
All I'll say about the Irish is you take that number six off the Alabama, put them on the Irish, and the Irish win.
I had been wondering for a while why a lot of Notre Dame alums weren't high on Brian Kelly, Chief, after looking at some of the records that he's compiled, and I think I've figured it out now after this no-show again.
You look at it, Colin, the guy who went to get the Texas job, the guy, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, was making $2.5 million as an offensive coordinator at Alabama?
Something along those lines. Yeah.
So what do you think? What do you think Tommy Reese, at age 28, the guy was a quarterback from Notre Dame 5 years ago, what do you think he's making? 70? 100?
That's a good question. I don't know. I mean, these coordinators now are, I mean, they're leveraging lots of money. I mean, Ryan Day, when he was at Ohio State, when he was the OC for Urban Meyer, he had a chance to go to the NFL, and Urban Meyer paid him more money to stay on as the offensive coordinator. So
I'm going
to
say that, well, where's Kevin when I need him? I'm going to say that 15 years ago, the maximum you could pay an assistant coach was like $60,000.
Oh, yeah.
It was governed by the NCAA. Matter of fact, only the head coach could participate in the shoe contract. He couldn't even split it up among the assistants.
Yeah, and it's out of control how much these guys are making, and they are just leveraging these positions to get head coaching jobs elsewhere. So it's a smart play if you can do it.
Well, they're paying the guy from Texas $15 million to leave.
Yeah, that's right.
How does that go on your state budget as a necessary expense?
Who do you got here?
We don't have much time. We got to get Carl in because labor numbers today.
Yeah, I want to look at the first game. Well, I want to talk about the Buffalo Bills. They're playing at home this weekend, and they've been an absolute juggernaut so far. They're playing the Indianapolis Colts at home. They're now a 6-point favorite, Chief. And I'm sure you come across this quite often, but if you look at just, you know, technical analysis or, you know, different angles that are compiled over periods of time for wild card weekend, a lot of people are going to tell you that the Colts are the play here and there's value on them as an underdog because typically in the last 5 years, underdogs have fared very well in the wild card weekend. But this is a situation where I'm going to go right back to the Bills again, Chief. They've been an absolute juggernaot the last 5 weeks of the season.
Yeah, they're getting better every week for some reason.
Yeah, and the thing is, every week they seem to be a little undervalued as far as the point spread goes. Again, you're going to look at it, analysts are going to look at it and say, I should be taking the Colts here. But if we look at last week, for example, the Dolphins closed at Buffalo as a 3.5-point favorite because there was talks that the Bills are going to be benching or resting certain players. And of course, if the Dolphins win last week, they get in the playoffs. And with even resting some starters, the Bills absolutely destroyed Miami. It wasn't even a game. Yeah, and if you look at the last 5 weeks, the Bills have they've won and covered every game with margin. So if you've bet on the Bills over the last month of the season, you've made quite a bit of money here. And we're going to go right back to the Bills again. I look at not only how well they're playing, but I also look at the Colts, and it's a team I've also been following pretty closely over the last 4 weeks. They have an aging quarterback, Phillip Rivers, on the road. It's going to be cold. If we look at Phillip Rivers in cold playoff games over his career, he's 1-5. We watched them against the Steelers a couple weeks ago. They were up 24-7 in Pittsburgh, and the Colts absolutely imploded. Pittsburgh came back to win that game. So I think the Bills will continue to roll here. And Chief, I got to be honest with you. I think they're 7-1 as a future to win the Super Bowl. And I think they're live to do that. The only concern I have at this point is that a lot of people are starting to jump on the bandwagon, and they're getting a lot of steam from the national media.
Well, they're hard to ignore. Hey, you got to go through the other five quick.
Yeah,
somewhat
sure.
Quick.
Really, the only other play I have this week, Chief, is just going to look at a money line parlay. And we're looking at, we're going to go look at the Saints, Ravens and Steelers. The Saints are 5-1, but we get the Ravens at -175 and the Steelers at -275. So if we money line parlay those three teams, we eliminate the point spread and we get, +157. So $100 to win $157. I think those three teams win outright this week. Obviously, I'll be rooting for the Bears as a 10-point dog. But if we look at those three teams, and the Ravens are in a revenge spot against the Titans from last year, and then the Steelers are playing the Browns team that I talked about earlier, the coaching staff is a mess, and the Browns barely beat the Steelers.
Why does it look like the Steelers, to me, are going the opposite way than the Bills, though?
I don't think the Steelers have a lot of flaws, but the Browns, if you watched, I don't know if you caught that game last week, but the Steelers rested their starters last week as a 9-point underdog and still almost beat the Browns with Mason Rudolph at quarterback. They were a 2-point conversion away from tying the game with about a minute to go. And Baker Mayfield's another guy that if he plays against a good defense that can pressure up front, he really, really struggles. They played earlier in the season in a game that mattered, and the Steelers beat them 38-6.
These guys that are quarterbacks that are slightly undersized, if you get a big guy in the middle, they can collapse the pocket. That's what Dan Hampton did for the Bears forever. He was a tall guy, and if he came up the middle of the smaller quarterbacks, he had no chance.
Yeah, and there's all these metrics now, too, that if there's pressure on certain quarterbacks, they have, you know, clean pocket or pressured, and Baker Mayfield's one of the worst in the NFL when he's facing pressure. So I expect the Steelers to get it done this week, but as you mentioned, Chief, Steelers have a lot of flaws. I don't see them going further than this game this week. But that would probably be the other. And I think the Ravens are another team, Chief, that they're healthy now, and they're starting to roll. Lamar Jackson's
100%. And I think they're pretty well coached.
Yeah, very well coached.
Hey, I have to remind you as we sign off here with you. By the way, thank you for calling in. The Irish covered.
They did.
Just
saying. If you watched that game, it felt like it was 40-0.
I know.
It really wasn't.
Just saying, the Alabama guys are not as happy as the Irish guys right about now, money-wise.
That's the
Chief. When it comes to cash, they're happier than the Alabama guys. Couldn't happen to a nicer bunch, as they say. Thank you, man. David, do we have Carl right away, or are we going to break?
We have Carl right now.
Let's just have him right now. Carl, how are you, buddy? It's been way too long. Christmas and New Year's on your day. How are you?
Well, you know, it's the holidays getting...
We did have Carl.
Carl?
I'm going to have to call him back. The S&P futures up 1250, NASDAQ futures up 70. Individual stocks, Apple is up $1.45. We've got Home Depot up $1.39. We were just talking about people being able to raise prices. But other than that, not much. McDonald's up 72. But these stocks are absolutely... one of my clients yesterday called and had some stock on them. And again, this is not a push at all for this thing. The stock is DDD. Evidently, they're involved in, I don't even know what the hell they do. Something about the battery business. Well, they must have got a shout out on from somebody somewhere yesterday. And, they ended up, I saw the stock started the day at, $9 and it was up to 22. And then when it traded 25, then back to 19. Stock like was up 120% in one day. And now it's down today. It's 21.6. These things are, and we have some stuff. We have a couple of clients here that like to be in these stocks, which, of course, my people, I don't come close to this stuff for them. Although, to be honest with you, I'd love to have one that I bought at 2 and 2 days later was 25. I mean, it that makes it easy. I just, you know, for my people, it's just they're not into that to a certain extent. Although, if you were to say, could I buy something at 2 for you and have it go to 20 the next day, the answer would be yes. I mean, obviously. But I just, the stuff is, the idea that something's hot and it's cold and it doubles. I mean, this momentum trading is getting to the point. This reminds me of 2000 again. I hope we don't go the same route as to where we end up. But right now, I mean, it's, stuff, if you think the market is an all-knowing value, you know, figures that knows everything about all these companies and actually goes for the value and so forth, you shouldn't have a situation where on a Tuesday, unless the FDA approves something or something like that, on a Tuesday it's worth twice as much as on a Monday. We got Carl back. Okay, Carl, you're back.
I am.
I think it's the people in the Tennessee authorities are like cutting your lines.
Well, you know, it's that, hey, you voted the wrong way thing. That's coming.
Yeah. So, we got the numbers coming out today. We appear to have, again, if anything, if there is a disconnect between the market and the economy, it's getting bigger by the minute. But where do you think that does that end? Is it, well, one of two things can happen, or three things. One is the economy can pick up, the market could just kind of go stagnant for a while, and the economy can catch up to it. These companies can essentially grow into their prices, which I think is what a lot of us would like to have happen. Or people could come out one day and say, market is too friggin' high, and oh, by the way, interest rates are going up, and, nobody's gonna sit there with a stack that makes $20 a year to trade $3,200, read Amazon. I'm not gonna wait for that, and I'm just out. Which happened, you know, before as well, in the late 60s, early 70s. I mean, there's a lot of outcomes here. The best one is that these companies grow into their price. Do you think that happens at all here, or? But I don't see the Fed ever backing off. I mean, why, with the market as high as it is, do we still need to pour $10, $20 billion a day into the place? I mean, isn't this enough?
Well, think about this, okay? I put an article out on this morning. The market loves this because the market loves socialism, communism, and slavery. Think about what happened with COVID, okay? The small business guy who runs the local bar that right now, or grill right now in Chicago, you can't go eat there, right? Because there's no indoor dining.
Unless you know where to sneak.
He doesn't have any representation in the stock market.
No.
But Amazon does.
Right.
So when you put him out of business, in favor of the big guy who happens to be on the stock market. Well, is this a shock?
Carl, do you we haven't talked to you in 3 weeks, and I think I might have not asked you the last time, but the interview somebody was having, it was on the radio. Well, it was on the radio for me because I was listening to it. It was on Face the Nation or one of those things. And what's her name? Who's the Irish girl? She came from CNBC. Oh, whatever. I think it was Face the Nation. They had the mayor of El Paso on there. And he said, you know, our studies here say that a lot of the transmission of the COVID are happening in big box stores. And she said, Margaret Brennan, she goes, well, why don't you close the big box stores? And he said something to the effect of, it's a directive from Washington that you can't close the big box stores. And I'm thinking, where did that come from? And then she said one of the dumbest things I've ever heard. You know, I'd say that if it was a guy, it doesn't matter. It was not a sexist comment. She goes, why don't you close more of the other places to make up for it?
But that's the problem, okay, when you get down to it. So why, I mean, if you think about this, how is it that the little guy in a corner is actually more dangerous than a packed Walmart?
Well, they're not. But how?
Well, obviously they're not. So, but one is preferenced and the other one is screwed.
But I guess my question to you is the preferencing coming from somewhere other than I never even dreamed that if the mayor of El Paso felt like closing the Walmart with everything else, he couldn't do it. I mean, is there some directive from some place that says these people are sacred?
You know, I don't know. I do know that it is in the propensity of government officials to lie when they don't want to have to try to justify things. I have not seen anything in an EO or other quote-unquote directive, nor do I think you could enforce that, because at its core, and this is the same problem, you know, Biden saying he wants national mask mandate and lockdowns and things like this, he has no ability legally to do that.
Right.
All right, so now, can he bribe people? Yes. And if you look at, like, for example, the governor in this state, in Tennessee, he has openly stated that the reason he's keeping his emergency declaration is because it brings in federal money. It has nothing to do with health.
Well, I think intuitively, if you're walking by somebody or you're in an elevator with somebody, if you think they might have any disease, not just COVID, you feel better if they have a mask on. Okay, but if you look at the numbers, obviously California has the biggest problem going now, and they're the strictest with the mask. So if you put the actual number, everything that is intuitively obvious doesn't necessarily work, which you and I talk about. But you know what? We also don't get.
Well, all you got to do is look at North and South Dakota. Okay, North Dakota shut down all kinds of things, had mask mandates, everything else. South Dakota does not. The two of them have identical curves.
Right, that's what I'm saying. But
the facts are what they are. But the thing is, I mean, even you go back and you look at what Fauci said in March, and he said that this is essentially a propaganda tool that you feel better.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Okay, and that's all it is. And the problem with that, though, and this is why I've been so vehemently against these things, the problem with doing that is that you kill people doing it. Because if you think you're safer, you will do things that are stupid.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Because you don't think it's kind of like walking along, you know, where you think there's a railing, right? But the railing's made out of paper mache. Right?
Well,
and if you actually need it to prevent falling and you go grab it, it's not there.
Well, you hit on it because, as most listeners know, I contracted the COVID. And I'm fairly convinced, I'm not 100% for sure, that I caught it at a hospital where I had a mask on the whole time. So
You almost certainly did.
But I think you're not going to get, here's the issue with that. I mean, you and I know, I think we know, that if you sat in a car and you and I drove to Seattle with a mask on and one of us had it, it's not going to make any difference. Yet, you also, it's somewhat intuitive that if somebody's standing right next to me and they lob out a big sneeze, I'm probably a little safer if they got a mask on and not. And those two things are...
Well, not really, and that's the whole problem, is that the problem with the premise behind this is physics doesn't care what you feel, okay? And water, which of course is, you know, water droplets are, there has to be some carrier for the virus particles. water is shearable at an almost infinitely trivial level of energy. So, you know, if you have something solid and you want to make it into, you know, you want to make a solid thing into, you know, two smaller pieces, right? It takes a fair bit of energy to achieve that. With water, that's not true. So water soaks through the mask and then is friable outward from there as water vapor, and each of those water vapor particles is big enough to carry enough virons to get you infected. So as soon as that starts happening, and we've known this for 40 years, they tried, they ran an experiment 40 years ago in operating rooms where they took the masks off all the people in the operating rooms. Now, you would have predicted that that would be a disaster.
Right. Intuitively, you would say it was a disaster, yes.
Well, guess what? The infection rate went down by 50%.
Okay, well, let's shift to economy. I'm going to say that the market, when is the Fed going to decide to not to stop what they're doing? I mean, ever? I mean, are they going to go to 15?
Well, the Fed will decide when the inflation, when the reported inflation rate. Okay, and I was listening to you guys earlier talking, you know, well, I can go to the grocery store and get pork chops for, you know, for $1.50 a pound. Well, yeah, I mean, they've been selling pork roasts over here if you get them on the right day for $1.
Yeah.
Okay. And the thing is, that's fantastic, but guess what? If I want some steak or some hamburger.
Right. Oh, yeah.
It's doubled.
Well, my point is that in 1973, when everybody drove and the gas price went from 20 cents to a dollar, you could have shot people. But right now, it's more hidden in property taxes as your local education, right? Higher education, even though it's gone up ridiculously in the last 20 years, it's up almost three times when the CPI is up 0.55, right? So, if you almost need a reset, but the fact is, that doesn't hit people as much. All that's having been said, and you're the guy that I learned most about regarding the medical part. You know, it's 20% of the 20% of the GDP, and it's 6.5% of the CPI. Well, over a period of time, that's goes from insanity to double insanity, right? So, but the fact is, if the gas prices double tomorrow, the hue and cry would be way more than the fact that if your hospital thing doubled, because most of the people that count. And I use this not on a, I mean, I think everybody counts and always have, but the people who count when it comes to, government, certainly radio and TV, they don't pay their own hospitalization. So it doesn't even, you're never going to get somebody on CNBC who's an employee who's making $1 million a year with CNBC picking up their hospitalization to ever come out and really emphatically tell you how his hospitalization's up. Because to him, he doesn't care. And he may be too dumb. Or doesn't look, he's probably not too dumb to say, it went up $500 for CNBC this year, and oh, by the way, if they didn't have to pay that, I'd have another $500 a week in my, or a month in my paycheck. People don't make that connection. But if the gasoline is all of a sudden $4 next week, you'll think you stuck people where the sun don't shine, right?
Well, sure, but see, the thing is, eventually what ends up happening in this sort of situation is it boomerangs back on you, because it always does.
Yes.
And the Fed and the federal government, you know, this was the same thing that happened during Obama's, during the time that Obama, when Obama was in office and we had the crash, and of course, which was, you know, he got into office as the crash was happening, so you can hardly blame it happening on him.
Right.
Okay. But what was the first thing that showed up in the data? It was millions and millions of people going on disability.
Right.
Now,
oh, yeah.
How is it that all of us are, now, you know, now we have a so-called pandemic. But you know what? What was the cause of a bunch of people being so sick they couldn't work? Well, that was BS. You and I know that. But the reality is that when you look at the data, the odds of a person who goes on disability ever working another day in their life is something like 1 in 4.
But even that, Carl, is somewhat. By the way, you know I agree with you on that. But I remember that. I forget the guy's name, and this is, I should put it up here because I quote the article a lot. The guy who wrote the Horseshoe of Despair from the Washington Post, remember that?
Yeah.
And he was talking about, anyways, I'm zeroed in a couple of counties in Alabama, and I guess some of the people there worked in the fabrics and other stuff, and they zeroed in some people in the nursing homes. And they said, if you're 50 years old and you're working in a nursing home, you've got a bad back. I mean, there's no...
Right.
If you go now and you see somebody, you know, a bigger guy or whatever, not even a big fatso, but a bigger guy, they bring this thing to the bed and he puts his arms up there and the thing helps the person get out of bed, where before it's a 120-pound nurse dragging the guy up, right? So,
right.
And so, I mean, there was a lady on there, and there's some county in Alabama that this guy zeroed in on. And of course, you know the name if I'm going to tell the story, but I don't. And how many people in that county, and went to several different doctors, how many people in that county ended up on long-term disability? I mean, some incredible number, like, you know, 20% or something. And, you know, they had a factory there, and they were interviewing this lady, and she says, you know, I don't know anybody that I, any of my friends that ever had a job where you sat down at all during the day. I mean, you and I look at the disability and you see, hey, the guy's got a bum ankle, but so what? He sits in his chair all day long and moves paper from one side to the other. Not that he's not a bright guy or a lady, but I mean, the disability, where is it? I mean, well, how's he disabled from doing it? But these people are saying, look, I don't know anybody. If you got me a job that you could train me that I could actually sit down for 3-4 hours a day, I'd go back to work. I just can't be on my feet all day. I've been doing it for 35 years. I can't do it anymore. So, I mean, there's always, I mean, you can't tell somebody who's been hauling people out of bed 50 times a day that they don't have a bad back when they're 55. And if you had an administration job for them, they'd be happy to go back to work, some people. But,
well, yeah, but they don't, but there isn't, and that's the thing is that what we have done, when you think about the stock market, you think about it in the context of the market, what is the cheapest labor?
Overseas.
Slavery.
Yeah.
No matter where it is, right? Because you can compel people to work.
Hey, I got a question for you. We'll do this after break. It was an interesting economic, question. I'm not Milton Friedman at all. He was a genius. I'm not. He would say that if I had time, I would spend several months putting together which is actually worse in terms of pricing for people, a monopoly or a cartel. He goes, I actually think I'm going to come out that the cartel's worse.
It usually is. And then the other thing that gets really ugly is that when you start thinking about how this all works, you have to have cheap energy to make it possible because you're moving so much stuff.
Well, I have a question for you after the break regarding, first of all, slavery is the worst thing in the world. Obviously, nobody can go. We should own another. We all know all that stuff. But economically, I'm not sure it was the worst that those people in that era, that was the worst system. We'll talk about that when I get back. I hope I'm wrong, but I'm going to ask you. SP Futures up 950, NASDAQ Futures up 60. Be right back, Stocks and Jacks.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Hello, this is Tom Harrell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. but I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com, that's PTISecurities.com.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now. Right here, right now.
Hello and welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. All kinds of news here. All of a sudden we got labor numbers. December jobs down 140. They're supposed to be, I think, up 50. I'm not positive. I think it was up 50, but they're down 140, which is not good. Unemployment rate stayed the same, which I'm not so sure how the hell that... We get that definition out of Carl. S&P futures now only up 8. It dropped a little bit, not much. NASDAQ futures up 57. We're still on this. Bad news is good news, and good news is bad news in the sense that more money will pile in, so it's better for the market, which I found very difficult to trade. I found it difficult to trade when I started, when it was the other way around with the money supply back in 1981. I still find it difficult. Anyway, Dow's up 93. Over in Europe, we've got DAX up 100 now. 0.7s are down some. FTSE down from where they were a minute ago. FTSE down a point, so call that flat. CAC around up 25.4%. Asia, big move up in the Nikkei. Obviously, they're closed. They're not affected by these numbers. Up 648. That's 2.4%. Shanghai down 6. That's 0.2%. Hang Seng up 329. 1.2%. Bonds, 1.09, almost 1.1. 1.097. So we've got a 0.10 run up in the last 3 days, which is a lot. The bund, percentage wise anyway. The bund minus 0.51, which is again moving forward toward zero. They were minus 0.59 earlier in the week. Japan positive 0.04. That's the highest we've seen that in really quite a while. Oil up 94 cents, 51.77. The news 2 days ago was Saudi cutting back another million barrels a day. We don't know if they will or not, but they said they're going to do. Ran up $1.03, 55.41. Natural gas down 8 cents, 2.64. By the way, David, why don't you and Maddie and AV get like a trading weather thing? If you had told us we have a mild winter, I could have sold this crap at 3.05 and be rich.
Right. How about that?
Our Bob up 2 cents, $1.50. We've got gold down $33, now $18.80. Dollar is going up today. Silver down 68 cents, $26.58. Copper unchanged at $3.70. What do you got for us, traffic, weather, sports? Then we'll get Carl back on through these labor numbers.
7:36 in Chicago. What was a smooth Friday morning traffic now has turned into smash-up derby. I have a couple accidents to report. There's an accident blocking the right lane on the Tri-State South I-94 at Rockland. Also, there's another accident, Roosevelt Road at I-355. Weather today, currently it's 33 in Chicago, cloudy. The highs will be 37 and mostly cloudy. To our Phoenix listeners, 44 currently, partly cloudy with a high of 70. College hoops last night, Illinois defeats Northwestern 81-56. Arizona loses to USC 87-73 in OT. ASU loses to UCLA 81-75. NBA basketball was a light night last night. Tonight the Bulls take on the Lakers and the Suns play the Pistons. It is NFL wild card weekend. There will be three games on Saturday and three on Sunday, and the Bears will be playing the Saints at the 3:40 game. Back to you, Chief.
I think Northwestern was up by like 20 points at half or something, or 15, and then they got clobbered the second half.
Right. I think you're
right. Wow. So, Carl, let's go through these numbers. But just briefly, Well, let's leave the other, the slavery versus other stuff, economically later. Let's, what about, I'm looking at the household survey. I've got like almost no change across the board here, and yet the establishment
survey.
Oh,
you are looking in the right place for a change.
See,
all right. So there's several pieces of information in this that jumped off the page at me as soon as the thing showed up, and actually it popped up just before we went to break, and I bit my tongue a little bit. All right, so first things first, the household survey number unadjusted was neg 590, which sounds bad, right? Because, you know, the official number was neg 140 something. Okay, for context, the last 2 years have been neg 1.5 million.
Okay.
January is normally a firing month. Seasonal help.
Yeah, but okay. The big box stores didn't hire near as many people this year as they
had. I understand that, okay? All right, now, the not-in-labor force number, on the other hand, went up very substantially, about 600,000.
Right, so
that's people that just walked away and said, blankety-blank you.
All right, so I'm looking at the different, the one I'm looking at is A1. I've got the... Not in labor
force. A4, my friend, below the line.
All right, because I've got the guys in not in labor force up 120.
I know that's that adjusted that seasonally adjusted stuff is garbage.
Okay.
So the thing is that when you look at the change from when, you know, everything went down the toilet, right? We were negative 23 million at the bottom, which was, you know, April, right?
Right.
This month, we're neg 150 from where we were last month, which corresponds with the official top-line number that's reported. However, there's another very interesting piece of information in here that allows me to once again blow the BS whistle on all of the crazies in the media, and that is all this screaming that we've had 300,000-400,000 excess deaths in this country. Right over the last 12 months. Remember that the BLS's population data, their definition of that is people who are over the age 16 or older. Okay, basically excludes kids, everybody else. Here's the problem. Last year's trend was about neg 150 from the previous year. 2020 from 2019, beginning of 2019 to the end of 2019, over 2018. So in other words, while we added 1.942 million people, the year prior to that we added 2.108. So this is baby bust, not baby boom, right? People coming of age. And guess what this year's number is?
No idea.
1.728, which means that at most I can find 50,000 excess deaths in the country for the year of 2020.
So how do you combat that with, I don't have it in front of me, but some young lady wrote something, and she thought that there were as many as 200,000 extra deaths this year outside of COVID just because of people for 6 months haven't been able to get treated on stuff.
Well, there's... people die every day. The question is it excess? Okay, remember, we claim there's no flu right now. Zero.
Well,
literally something like 800 cases of flu nationally since the start of the season.
Well, you know, isn't that... I just had somebody talk about
that
a week ago. Well, but is it? I mean, somebody asked me how that could be. Again, one of the listeners sent me an email. I said, I don't think anybody can get here from the Southern Hemisphere. Isn't... The flu it gets here from people from Brazil that had it down there in their winter and came up here, right? That's how flu gets here.
Well, yes and no. I mean, the thing is, that's a very nice theory, except then how come we had a flu season in 1918, you know, really bad one,
yeah.
Right? And of course, we know the answer was that we imported a bunch of people back from Europe that had it as the war was over.
Right. Okay.
All right. But here's the thing. You know, did we have wildly, you know, we didn't have jet airplanes in, you know, 1900, but we had flu every year. And the thing is, that when you look at this, you look at the data that is supposedly coming out of the alleged health authorities, and the data does not logically make sense. The only reasonable, you cannot at the same time believe that masks and social distancing stop influenza but doesn't stop COVID. Okay, I mean, they're both respiratory viruses, for crying out loud. You're either having an impact on one or not having an impact on either. So the thing is, there is clearly bucket shifting going on at a mass scale.
Well, I don't know of anybody who has the flu.
You know what? Normally, I don't know anybody who's had the flu either. It's just, you know, but the facts are that it kills 50, 60,000 people a year in a normal year.
I come down here and... Well, except when Maddie's with me, I ride with two people. I think they're up to like seven other people in the building other than us.
Right.
Downtown here is like,
it's a ghost town.
The weird part, I had no idea how bad it was, Carl. So you get a load of this. Everybody knows I had a little bit of a health issue that I'm totally over, which is great. Thank God for medical science. In the midst of that mess, I got COVID, right? So I haven't been to the health club since September 19th was my last day. So I go back yesterday. I'm happy as a clam that I'm actually back at the health club, for God's sake. And I walk in. God, it was like a time warp. There's still, for the 3:30 time at the club, I'm one of three people there. There was three people there in September. So in the last 5 months, nothing's gotten better. They still only have three employees in the place. The building is still 4% occupied. Nothing has improved at all in 5 months.
Oh, I know. But the thing is that look, the data is what it is. When they started, when John Hopkins went after this economist group that wrote a paper that basically said, look, you're ridiculously overstating the excess deaths caused by COVID. All right. And the university came down on them like a hammer. They censored the paper. They threatened to fire the adjunct who wrote it. I mean, they were all over. Oh no, you can't make statements like that. Okay, so I said, well, how do I get uncorrelated data? Well, one of the places I can get uncorrelated data is Social Security's payment flow, because Social Security doesn't pay dead people. So,
if we know
COVID kills mostly old people, it ought to show up in their data immediately.
No, I'm gonna. You know everything. I think you do. How does the Social Security find out that people are dead? And I just was reading this the other day.
Oh, instantly. When my mother died, they knew before I got the body out of the morgue, and it dispatched a letter to my house.
You know where they get it from?
The hospital.
No, they get it from the undertaker.
Well, the mortuaries, too, yeah. But they didn't even have... At the point that the letter was postmarked, the mortuary didn't even have her corpse yet.
Well, the article I was reading was about, God, you're, even if your poor mother, you're talking about her. Anyway, I was reading this thing about the checks are going to go out now to dead people because there's not a, they're not cross correlating with Social Security.
That's a separate issue. So, but Social Security maintains this master death file, and the number of entities, financial institutions, stuff like this, the monitoring thing is unbelievable. You would be stunned at how fast I started getting notices from these folks because I've been running her money for a couple of years before she passed, and it was literally instantaneous. And I was I was shocked. We hadn't even made arrangements with the funeral home yet, and I was only getting the mail. These people, they know. And then I look at this data from the BLS, and the population data from the BLS, by the way, is adjusted every January to fix whatever errors are in there that accumulate throughout the year, which is why I wanted to wait until today to get this report, because the adjustment is in there now, and the trends have not changed. There is no way there's more than 50,000 excess deaths that have come out of this thing. No way. All in.
Well, when I used to be able to tell what people had is, all you do is walk on the trading floor. When you got 1,200 people in one room, you get to the top of the steps at the OEX, you could tell how many people were coughing and sneezing. You knew what was around. You didn't even need to read the press.
Yeah.
Well, now, when everybody's buying, how can I tell? I don't see anybody.
Well, but you know what? They're all still going to the grocery store. They're all still going to Walmart.
Yeah, but I go at 6 in the morning. It's not a big crowd.
Well, you do, but everybody else doesn't.
Right, well, that's right. That's why there's not a big crowd at six, right?
Well, right, exactly. But, you know, but that's the thing is that, see, we, you know, we think that we are all so smart. You know, all these people are making these pronouncements, and the problem is they can't play with the data sets they don't have control over. And that's why I love looking at all the uncorrelated stuff.
Well, yeah, I mean clearly, there's, if you, you know, look at these household versus the other. By the way, how good is a household survey? Are we still trying to call people at home on our landlines? How are we doing that now?
No, they are using cell numbers now as well. So they've come into the, you know, the 21st century. All surveys by definition, you know this, as anybody else has ever done any kind of statistics, all surveys have bias, okay? Whether intentional or not, it's always there. But the idea that, you know, this is all about this, this means, this labor report means that, you know, that the pandemic is still biting and it's getting terrible. Hey, listen, folks, the data says, no, it's not. Neg 590 is a million better than the last 2 years for January's firings.
Well, right now,
what it is.
Well, right now, see if I'm totally off on this. I've got from February to today, the numbers. I still have pushing 9 million people less working.
Yeah, 8891. Yeah,
and I've got about 5.5 million people in the we don't know what they're doing column, long term or whatever, and we've got 5 million people roughly in the now unemployed column, so they sort of add up a little bit.
Well, yeah, the 12-month not in labor force numbers up by 5 million, yeah.
But I guess how much more can that one drop, and the not in labor force unemployed go up? Well, right now we're pushing 150 versus 111 million, so you've got virtually less than three people working for every two people not working, for every five out of five people.
Right.
I don't know that can. I don't see that at 50-50 working. Do you? I don't know.
And I'll tell you what the real 900-pound gorilla in the room is that the NILF number, even in the depth of the crash, you know, 2009-2010, as things were really in the toilet. We never saw a number over a little over three.
Well, what happens?
So I mean, and those are people that are gone out of the workforce, and a substantial percentage of them. This is just what the data says. Is 80% of those people never come back?
Well, we have these big cities, and I mean, I think Chicago's got to be one of the worst, but New York maybe. Because I mean, some places. I mean, Dan Janinas was on Thursday, said in Florida, I mean, things are reasonably open. The towns, I mean, you drive around, you almost don't even realize there's a problem. But clearly here in Illinois, there is. But in Chicago, I wonder, I've read stories, Carl, but they don't get too far out. And to be honest with you, you and I are probably too busy to dig into them too much. You know, I've read stories about, you know, the Youngstown, Ohio's of the world, where the population has dropped, you know, 25%, pick a number, 20-25, and how, you know, people are still trying to live on, you know, two or three people trying to live on a block, and the city's like, we almost want to buy the damn place from them, and give them money to buy it in another place, and we got to get rid of the lighting and the power. We can make a golf course out of that area or something, or a park. We can't afford the infrastructure as things spread out that much, and there's big tracts of Chicago that are like that. Now, I mean, what is the tipping point? I mean, we got a mayor, you know, this job I wouldn't wish on anybody, so I'm, you know, I beat up on her, but not, you know, it's not like it's an easy one to do. I mean, you're broke, you have nothing but pension problems that are laughable, that you can't even fix. I was out with somebody last night who said he knows a guy who's got five different pensions from five various parts of the state. I mean, come on. But I mean, we've done this to ourselves in a lot of ways. But just by and large, the numbers are such. Chicago gets to, you know, 2.4, 2.5 million people without the places that used to employ 500,000-600,000 people that were the workhorse of the entire community. I don't know what the death throes even look like, Carl. I mean, what does it mean? We're just, the numbers just don't make it. They become Youngstown. We're just going to have to make the place smaller and have a huge, expansive prairie grass on the south side and the west side, and just, you know, let's take 4 square miles and just say nobody lives there. I don't even want to go there to where this the end game is here. But how do you not even look at it, because it looks like that's the trend.
Well, you know what, they did do that in parts of Detroit. The last man standing, so to speak, leaves the city block, and the city engineers come over there and just turn the water and power off and the gas feed because there's nothing there except burned out houses.
Well, didn't they?
And the thing is that at some point, the infrastructure, if there's no tax money coming in to support it, then what are you doing?
Yeah.
Okay, and so this is the issue that we are, as a society, we're going to have to deal with this, is that we have taken the good jobs, we've allowed the large firms, which is why your stock market is up so much, to use the events of the day, much of which they caused. Now, of course, you know, we didn't cause a virus to show up, right? But we did cause the lockdowns, we did shut down the schools, we did pay teachers for 3 months in the spring to not work, we didn't go to remote learning, we literally closed the schools and threw the kids out and paid them anyway.
Yep.
All right, we did all of these things over time, and who did we do it to benefit? We did it to benefit the Amazons, the Teslas, the Apples, the Nikes, the people on that are listed on the exchanges. And the guy who runs the bar down the street got screwed.
Right.
And yet the reality is that when you look at the facts, large corporations exist for one reason only, and that's to benefit their shareholders. So if they can find a way to offshore labor and use slave labor illegally and not end up in jail, they will do it. And that's exactly what you've had happen with palm oil, which is in all sorts of cosmetics and other and foods. It's exactly what you've had happen with the so-called re-education camps over in China, where they're using that as slave labor, essentially forced labor for multiple manufacturers and products that are sold here in the United States. We don't do anything about it. We will not put a wage and environmental parity tariff system in, which I've been talking about for 20 years. And because if you do it, then all of this excess profit goes away. And then you have a virus that shows up. And Congress could have said, we are going to lay an excess profits tax because you didn't earn this money. You are exploiting a natural phenomenon.
Right.
Okay. And so we're going to confiscate that money and give it to the people that got hosed. But no, we can't do that, because then the stock market would not go up, right? Because you'd take all that extra money.
Well, yeah.
Well, that's not what they did. Instead, they just printed up, you know, a few trillion extra dollars and threw you scraps with your $600.
Yeah, well, $1,200 the first time, you know.
Well, no, but you know what? So, okay, so you got close to $2,000, right? $1,800 bucks. Do you realize that in that same time, the Congress has passed 2 pay increases amounting to roughly $35,000 per congressperson permanently?
Well, you know, one of our listeners, I don't know if you had this one, because you haven't had it in 2 weeks, he calculated, because he's an engineer guy, he's a nice guy. He said if you took the stuff out of this bill that are, you know, designed for individual companies, essentially the earmarks, that the check to individual people could be $18,000. Which I wouldn't go for, because you're just running the money up. But
that's what happened.
I have a quick question. We have Frank listening. He's in here hanging around. He had nothing better to do, so he came downtown today. He's listening here in the office. I think he put the headphones on. He's smart enough to do that. Actually, he didn't. We are talking about Frank. What is the motivation to be doing the things we're doing? I mean, we got these guys have to know, Carl, that this 25% money supply shove up this year is 2.5 times the average of World War II. It's 2 times World War I. A lot more in the Civil War, because you throw out they put the greenbacks out. But they have to know it's 2.5 times the 2008-2009 phenomenon. They have to know that it's excessive to the point where it's going to cause a problem, and yet they're still doing it. But I mean, is it because the rich people own the stocks and they want to make sure they're okay? Or what is it? I mean, I know that's cynical.
I'll tell you where the problem is. I alluded to this before the break, and that is that behind every unit of GDP is a unit of energy. Right? This is a basic physical fact. You can't get around it.
Okay.
And the problem that we have in this country, and that we've had now for the last 10-plus years, and it's part of the triggering issue. You remember when the housing crash happened, what also came with that was, you know, oil well over $100 a barrel, right?
Right.
And why did that happen? Well, because the production of energy has always been a boom and bust cycle. Unfortunately, the bust side is below the cost of actually getting it out of the ground.
Depending on where you are.
And when you crack and do things like this, yes, you get the stuff faster, but the problem is there's the same amount is there. You extract it faster, so the depletion rate goes up. And it goes up a lot, too. So a well that would have produced for 5 years produces for one. So now you have to drill more of them, but the cost of putting that straw on the ground has not gone down. It's gone up because right. It's more complex. So at some point, you end up paying. How do you pay for it? Okay, if the cost of extraction is more than you can sell it for, every straw you stick in the ground loses you more money. And that was the conundrum that faced the nation 10, 12 years ago, back when we had the 08 crash. And that's why the price of oil started to spike. Well, the problem is you can't continue to run an economy that way, especially one that ships all of its labor and raw products over to China, India, and everywhere else, and then brings the product back here because it costs a ton of money to do that. And the same thing's true for Amazon shipping everything from one place to another.
It sounds like we have a lot to talk about next week, but because we got a dash. Let's tee that one up. Plus, we can talk about, what, 6 wild card games, too. A lot of stuff.
There you go.
The Titans, are you guys even in? Are you a Tennessee Titan fan now that you moved there? I'm thinking no.
Me?
Yeah.
Well, you know, they're not especially impressive with their record, are they?
No. S&P futures up 950, NASDAQ futures up 69. Back on Monday, Stocks and Jocks.
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Stocks and Jocks is brought to you by PTI Securities and Futures. Go to ptisecurities.com. PTI Pro Direct. Trade for as low as a penny per share and a dollar per option contract. Learn more at ptiprodirect.com. Nadex. Offering an intuitive way to trade the financial markets. Visit nadex.com. Home Source Realty. Call Audrey Johnson at 708-349-3456. Hamzy Analytics. Listen to Fari Hamzy every other Thursday and visit HamzyAnalytics.com. ChiroMed. Back or neck pain? Schedule a complimentary consultation by calling 708-403-2727. DAX Research. Tune in for David Andelman's technical analysis on Mondays and Thursdays and call 1-800-821-4968.